Welcome to our Kingdom Culture podcast. For today's message, we are thankful for what God is doing through this podcast to encourage and transform lives around the world. If you have a story to share about how God has encouraged or transformed your life through this podcast, we would love to hear about it by emailing us at mystory@kingdomculture.ca. If you would like to support this ministry financially to help us bring messages like this to you every week, you can do so online at kingdomculture.ca at the Give option. We also would love to connect with you on our social media, on Instagram and Twitter at KC Ottawa, and Facebook at Facebook/Kingdom Culture Ottawa. We pray that you would experience God today and be encouraged through today's message. Enjoy.
It's such an honor to be here and speak. For those of you who were expecting Pastor Sean, I'm sorry, okay? Pastor Sean is still the pastor of Kingdom Culture. Let me reassure you, he's just been traveling a lot. And like he said, he's at a leading conference, which I think it's amazing because he's going to come back with something to release over us. So I love it. I'm like, sure, come. Just make sure you come back and just release. Freely you give, freely you will freely you receive, freely you give. So make sure that you don't miss next week. I know it's going to be powerful. So Pastor Sean has started to speak about God is in the room. He's in the room. And then Eduardo spoke about God is in the desert. And this morning I want to talk to you about God is in the power of the sound. Can I just hear? So let me talk a little bit about me for those of you who don't know me. So my name is Harley Gervais. I am married to Jean, who knows you all by name. Yes, he's the man. He's my man. And we have 6 children from... Now I need to remember the ages. Okay, hold on. 16, correct me, honey. 16, 14, 11, 8, and the twins are 1. There you go. I got it. I have to think. So life is busy. Life is busy. And I was born in France. My parents are Haitian. And I'm used to loud sound, loud noise. And I don't know if it's cultural, but based on my experience with Caribbean people and African and some, you know, Middle East people, we're all loud. Yeah, we're proud. Like, there's absolutely no shame. We're loud when we cry. We're loud when we're happy. We're loud when we fight. We're loud when we reconcile. We're just loud all the time. And the first time my husband came to my house, he was like, that's pretty impressive. Like, in 5 minutes, I saw reconciliation, a fight, a meeting, a greeting, and laughing, all at the same volume. He's like, that's pretty impressive. Yes, in my family, we have 2 volumes, loud and louder. And the first time I went to my husband's family, we were not dating, we were just friends. Oh, gosh. I could hear myself swallowing the food. It was just so quiet. I'm like, bro, I'm going to release a little bit of my blackness in you because I'm not going to have a quiet house. And God answered my prayer because we are loud in my house. And I just love it. My husband sometimes is like, can we just please be quiet for 2 minutes? And I'm like, no. This is life. And now with the twins, they're cruising, they're walking. You know, it's even louder. But whenever we don't see them, we all stop. We're like, where are the twins? And everybody's quiet. And we wait to hear where does the sound will come from. And usually they're climbing the stairs or playing in the trash or playing with toilet water. Listen, if you want some lesson 101 on parental skills, we got you, okay? You can come and see us. You know, it's good for their immune system. But, you know, we usually run and like, no, you can't play with the toilet water. You just can't do this. There's noise, there's sounds, there's volume at the Gervais house almost all the time. Actually, even at night, because there's like the white noise. So it's nonstop. And there's worship in the kids' bedroom. And this morning, I want to talk about a different type of sound. I want to talk about the sound of heaven. So let's go read 2 Kings chapter 7, and you can just follow on the screen. So Elisha said, "Listen, God's word, the famine is over. This time tomorrow, food will be plentiful. The market at the city gate will be buzzing." The attendant on whom the king leaned for support said to the holy man, "You expect us to believe that? Trapdoors opening in the sky and food tumbling out?" And the prophet said, "Well, you will watch it with your own eyes, but you will not eat so much as a mouthful." It happened that four lepers were sitting just outside of the city gate. They said to one another, "What are we doing sitting here at death's door? If we enter the famine-struck city, we'll die. If we stay here, we'll die. So let's take our chances in the camp of Hiram and throw ourselves on their mercy. If they receive us, we'll live. If they kill us, we'll die. We've got nothing to lose." So after the sun went down, they got up and went to the camp of Aram. When they got out to the edge of the camp, surprise, not a man in the camp. The master, so referring to God, had made the army of Aram hear the sound of horses and mighty army on the march. They told one another, "The king of Israel hired the kings of the Hittites and the kings of Egypt to attack us." So panicked, they ran for their lives through the darkness, abandoning tents, horses, donkeys, the whole camp just as it was, running for their life. The four lepers entered the camp and went into a tent. So first they ate and drank. Then they grabbed silver, gold, clothing, and they went off and hid it. Then they came back, entered another tent, and looted it again, hiding their plunders. Finally, they said to one another, We shouldn't be doing this. This is a day of good news, and we're making it into a private party. If we wait around until morning, we'll get caught up and punished. So come on, let's go tell the news to the king's palace." So they went and called out at the city gate, telling what had happened. And I'm just going to skip for the sake of time. So basically, they just went to Israel and said, "Look what we found." And then verse 18, "Every word of the holy man to the king proved true." A couple weeks ago, I had a dream. For those of you who don't know me, I'm a dreamer. That's the main way God talks to me. And I had a dream, and in the dream, I was attending a funeral. And in the midst of the funeral, I was asked to lead worship. And nobody was singing with me, obviously, in the dream, because it's a funeral. So it was my voice only. But I kept pushing, and I kept worshiping. And at one point, I heard a sound of heaven. So I heard voices, heavenly voices, singing with me. In reality, it happened only once. For those who went to the French church, L'Église Liberté, I know the Campbells. Oh, Andrian is not here. Maybe the Bazinet. Yes, you're here. You probably remember that it happened once in reality, where during worship, there was a sound of heaven. Like we audibly heard other voices on top of the worship. It was incredible. So that's exactly what happened in my dream. Heavenly voices singing with me. And then I took a sheet and I wrote down and I said, "I'm signing up Ottawa to be the next place where the sound of heaven will be released." And I feel like that's the word for us because we are in Ottawa. And if you're visiting, please move to Ottawa. Okay. But I feel like that's the word, and I don't want us to miss the opportunity of aligning ourselves with that word from God. And since that dream, I ask myself, well, what's the sound of heaven? And there are a couple references in the Bible. So there's Ezekiel 37. He was brought by Holy Spirit in the Valley of the Dry Bones. And then the Bible says that he heard and he saw the dead, the dry bones coming together. And it made a sound, like a sound of heaven when they came together. There's also Elijah. He was also in the midst of a drought for 3 years. And then he saw a cloud, a very small cloud, and he said, "Ooh, I hear the sound of the rain, an abundant rain coming." That was the sound of heaven. And then when Jesus was resurrected, people were in the upper room and they were waiting for Holy Spirit to come. And the Bible says that suddenly a sound of a mighty wind came, a rushing wind. That's again the sound of heaven. So I love those stories because, you know, a sound, something from outside came. But I couldn't identify myself to the prophet Ezekiel, nor the prophet Elijah, and certainly not the patience of the 110 in the upper room, although it's my desire. But I feel like because of my limitations and because of our limitations, maybe we identify ourselves more with the lepers. But what happened is that in the story, they are in the midst of a famine. And yes, we're reading the story, and we know the end of the story. But think about it. They're in the midst of the famine, and it's been 7 years, so they don't know when it will finish. They don't know when it will end. And what are we doing when there's no sign, when we have a word, we have a promise, there's something that we believe, but there's actually no sign, no movement, nothing happening at all. And we all face situations, we all face challenges in our lives where it looks just permanent. It feels like the situation, the dreams or the goals that we're facing, the relationship, it seems like they're a long way off. They will never turn around. What do we do? And Elisha said, because he was in the same boat, he was in the same situation, and he came and he said, "Here's the word of the Lord. It is the end of the famine." And this morning, I want to start with this declaration over you, Kingdom Culture and Ottawa. I'm here to say this morning that there is a word of God. There is a word of the Lord to your situation. There is a word. It is the end of the famine. It is the end of the drought. If you're looking for a shift, if you're looking for a turnaround, if you're looking for a major breakthrough, if you're looking for a change in your situation, hear the word of God. It is the end of the famine, because when God speaks, there is actually a sound of heaven releasing, a sound that makes a way when there is no way, a sound from heaven that scatters the enemies, a sound of heaven that brings the suddenlies into your life. There are suddenlies coming. There are suddenlies being whispered by God right now. Suddenlies in your life. Suddenlies, a sound that carries your breakthrough. A sound that carries life. A sound that carries healing. A sound that, come on, people. Come on, KC. A sound that carries peace and deliverance and resurrection and the glory of God. God is releasing a sound over your voice. He's releasing a sound over your steps, and he's releasing a sound over your territory. Just to give you a little bit of context, so Ben-Hadad was the king of Syria, and he gathered all his armies together with one goal, and it was to conquer Israel. So he brought all the force against Samaria and besieged the capital city. Samaria was the capital city of Israel. And the way he did it is by cutting off all the communications with the surrounding countries. And slowly to bring Israel to death by starving Israel. And we learn from the previous chapters that people in Israel were eating donkeys' heads. I mean, I'm all about Finn cuisine, but this doesn't sound very good. And on top of that, they had to pay, like, a lot of money. We learn that the famine was so intense that they were eating babies. Yes, it's messed up. They were in the midst of a 7-year famine. Samaria's food supply ran out. And the king of Israel is blaming Elisha. He's blaming the prophet. Listen, when everything goes well, we love the prophet. When there's a mess, we blame the prophets. When everything goes well, we're at church singing How Praises. And when it's, or sometimes we don't even come to church because it's like it goes well. But when there's a mess, then we blame God. So the king is like, it's because of the prophet Elisha that we're in this situation. So he sent his soldiers and he said, you're going to arrest him and execute him. And Elisha is in the same boat. I mean, he's in Israel. So he is also the victim of the same famine. But Elijah, when he saw the king, when he saw the soldiers, and he knew that they were here to kill him, he responded with a prophecy. He responded with the word of God. And verse 1 says, like I said, listen, God's word, the famine's over. This time tomorrow, food will be plentiful. The market at the city gate will be buzzing. And what we need to understand is when actually he said, hear the word of God, it's not only like listen to what I have to say. The Hebrew word is pay attention, obey, agreed. You need to yield to the word of God. And by the word of God, the Hebrew meaning is sound of God. And the soldier's response is like, Elisha, have you lost your mind? Have you watched the news? Are you aware that it's been 7 years? Do you realize that we're surrounded by a big army? We're in the middle of a famine? So even if God opens up all the doors of heaven, it can happen. And it can definitely happen within 24 hours. Like, how is it going to happen? Elisha, tell me, how is it going to happen? And it's so interesting that, to be honest, we're not different sometimes than that soldiers. When God gives us a word, when we have a promise, or Sunday after Sunday, we're here and we declare over you, you're like, but how is it going to happen? Like, it doesn't make sense. And then when we try to figure it out how God's going to intervene in our situation, and we can't find an answer, this is where we panic. We can't have a right view of our circumstances until we get a right view of God. See, the voice of the Lord has this ability to expose unbelief. That soldier And I didn't read it, but that soldier is exactly like God said. He saw the blessing, but he didn't take part of it. Unbelief will rob us from our blessing. And it's so interesting. This week, I was in court, and I preside in criminal courts, but also in any municipal matters. So I was doing municipal matters, so the red light traffics, you know, when you guys are speeding, you know. And you want a reduction, okay. There is no reduction with speeding, okay. Let me tell you right now. There you go. Law 101. Okay. So this individual, so the courtroom is crowded with people. Like I have civilians, I have police officers, I have the prosecutor, paralegal, and I have people on Zoom. And usually the way I deal with matters is like I'm going to deal with civilians first because I'm like, lawyers, you're being paid the big bucks, so you can wait. Okay, that's your job. But civilians, like you and I, we go in court. Like I honor the fact that you're missing hours. People are missing hours. People are maybe taking some time off. They're in the courtroom with their kids screaming and all that stuff. So I really want to help them and serve them. So there's this individual. I'll just make up a name, Mr. Guo. And the prosecutor is like, okay, so the next matter is the matter of Mr. Guo. And the prosecutor said, the officer is not present. So Justice Gervais, I'm going to ask you to withdraw the matter. And I'm like, oh, hey. So Mr. Guo, the officer's not here. You're free to go. By the way, this is the best scenario if you have a ticket. Okay. Pray that the officer don't come. Okay. There you go. And Mr. Guo is like, what does that mean? I said, the officer's not here. There will be no trial. So you're good to go. You're free. Merry Christmas. You don't have anything to pay. And I can see the confusion, but he leaves the courtroom. And I just continue with my day. I just continue. And 30 minutes later, I lift up my head, and I see he's back. And I'm like, Mr. Guo, what are you doing here? He's like, I don't have anything to pay. I'm like, no, you're good to go. You said that you were in rush. You were meeting, you know, you were missing work hours. Just go. He's like, okay. And then I continue. 2 hours later, bro came back. And I'm like, I know it's a fun court, but I'm like, Mr. Guo, what are you doing here? He said, I really don't have anything to pay. He said, can you give me a paper? And I'm like, no. Because of my position, because of my authority, I don't have to give you any paper. They know. They all know that I withdrew the charges, so you have nothing to pay, and nobody will come after you to ask you money. You're just gonna have to trust me. Now you've been going for 2 hours coming back because you didn't believe my words. You're missing on your day. And it's the same thing with that soldier, and sometimes it's the same thing with us. Our unbelief robs us from the blessing. That soldier said, well, Elisha, according to the facts, do we have people like this? Oh, my son, I have one son. Actually, mommy, according to... So intellectual. So like, well, actually, this is not very correct. That soldiers did exactly the same thing. According to the facts, even if we open up all the doors of heaven, some of you are trying to figure it out which one of my son, huh? Yeah. Oh, you will know. According to the facts, even if we open up the doors of heaven, it's impossible. You know what? When we go through famine, when we go hard situation, I don't need your facts. What I need is the word of God. Don't let the facts talk you out of what God has promised you. A couple years ago, it was in the midst of COVID. My husband and I, we were trying to finish the basement, and then we got a word that we were supposed to build another house. So we're doing this, knowing that what we have is not enough, right? But then I had a dream, and in the dream, Michael Jordan came to me. So Michael Jordan, the angel, Jordan crossing, okay? Yeah, crossing the river, crossing the promise, okay? So Michael Jordan came to me, to my husband and I, and he said, I'm going to supply for all your needs. You will have enough to finish the basement in your house, and you're going to have enough to purchase the other house. And as a sign of this, every month for a year, I will give you $1,000. And I woke up. And I'm like, is it? So by faith, with fear, by faith, I wrote down the dream. I shared the dream with my husband. And we're like, man, do we fully believe? To be honest, no. Can God do it? Yes. But let's see. And that dream was in January, because every beginning of the year, I always ask God, what do you have for me, for my family, for my friends, my community, for my country, every year. So I felt like that was God's word for our family. So that was in January. And then in February, okay, you need to understand, my husband and I, we both work for the government. So whether we work 80 hours or 37.5 hours, we still get the same paycheck. It doesn't change, okay? So we're like, I don't know where that money will come from, but let's wait. Let's test the word. February came out of nowhere. Out of nowhere, $1,000 came. Out of nowhere. March came, and it was like crazy situation. Like in 1998, there was a lawsuit against this company, and for the settlement, we give you $1,000. We're like ridiculous scenario. Listen, I want you to believe me that for a full year, every month, we receive $1,000 every month. And if there was a month, actually, if there was a month without money, the next month it was $2,000, so covering for the previous month. God doesn't give us a promise that he can't bring to pass. He doesn't change his mind. He's not a man to lie. When God speaks, things take place. So if the facts are telling you the economy is crazy, you cannot purchase a house, my God says, I have silver and gold. If the fact says you're addicted and this is permanent, my God says, I override the facts and freedom is coming. If my God, if the word or if the world or if the fact says you've gone so far, there's nothing I can do for you. God has said, I'm the door. I can open up all the doors in heaven for you. If the world, if the fact says you can't get well, God is like, I know your body. I'm your creator and my name is healer. What I speak will come to pass. This is the authority he has in his word, and this is the authority that we have also in his word, in our words. Proverbs 18:21 says that death and life are in the power of tongues. When we face obstacles, because of our human nature, we tend to declare death, right? But God wants to retrain our brain. He wants to retrain our mind that the first thing when we're facing situation is to speak life. It's to release a sound of breakthrough. Job 22:28, it's a famous verse for the prophets in the nations, any nations. It says, decree and it shall be established. And sometimes I have to be reminded, hold on a second, all I have to do is to speak it? And it will be established? It's that easy? And some of you, you've been praying for a breakthrough. You've been believing for things. And one way to see the breakthrough is when you, not a prophet, not a pastor, not the worship team, not in a song, but when you start declaring and decreeing. Decree a word. Let's decree a promise. We need to speak the things that God is saying over us. Then we will see victories. There is power in our mouths. There is power in our voice. And we don't have to prophesy from a platform. We can actually prophesy in our car, in our family, over our family when the kids are sleeping, in our workplace when we're on our way to work. We can prophesy on our way to the supermarket as we're running errands. We can speak those words. We live in a world where there is like a voice war. We have voices coming from everywhere. Think about it. Voice in the media, voice in the politics, voice in the nations, voice in social media, Facebook, TikTok, X, Snapchat, Instagram. Am I missing something? Voices, I'm good? Okay. Approved? Okay. Voices everywhere. But God is saying, I want you to speak life, and I want you to prophesy, and I want you to speak the word of the Lord. Psalm 24:29-4 says, the voice of the Lord is powerful. Isaiah 30:31 declares that the voice of the Lord will shatter your enemy. Shatter means to break or cause to break suddenly and violently into pieces. What's the name of your enemy? What's the name of the enemy that you're facing? And I'm not talking about individuals, because the war is not over individuals. God is giving you a voice for the battle. God is giving you a voice of victory. He's not giving you a sound of regret. He's not giving you a sound of shame. He's not giving you a sound of pain, but he's giving you a sound that will bring turnaround and that will bring the changes. And I just want to speak right now, this moment, if you want to just lift up your hands, because I feel like as I was praying for you, Jesus, I just want to speak, suddenly's in the house. You release, Jesus, your promises. You release the finances, the connection, the projects, the judgment. Whatever has been held up, whatever has been delayed, whatever has been blocked, whatever has been stagnant is being released right now in Jesus' name. I declare over Ottawa, and I declare over you, Kingdom Culture, that something good is happening right now. What was held, what is holding your finances hostage, what has held your healing, what has held your hope, come on, what has held your family, your salvation, your children, your job, your houses, your promotion, your mental health, it has to let go right now in Jesus' name. There is a sound over your voice, and God is releasing a sound over your steps. Hey. Actually, something happened. I just felt a shift. Yeah, I just felt a shift. Hey. Okay. Let's finish strong. Okay. So verse 3 and 4, it happened that 4 lepers were sitting just outside the city gate, and they said to one another, what are we doing sitting here at death's door? And I'm going to skip to verse 5. So after the sun went down, they got up and went to the camp. In Bible times, people suffering from leprosy were treated as outcasts. There was no cure for leprosy. gradually, a person was left disfigured. So through the loss of fingers and toes and eventually limbs. And lepers were forced to live apart from the community. When people approached them, lepers had to scream, "Unclean! Unclean!" Can you believe if we had to scream our sin? So those lepers, this is what they had to go through every day. So they live outside the city, but near the wall of the city because people would dump their garbage. And they would survive and eat off of the garbage that was dumped over the wall. But it's a 7-year famine. There's no garbage. And I found very interesting that God chose the lepers to bring breakthrough in Israel. And I love this portion of the story because it's all about limitation. God is using like the lepers. And have you noticed when everything happened? It happened at twilight, so when the sun came down. It happened when there was a transition between day and night. It happened when it was dark outside. And that tells me one thing. God works in the dark. God moves in the twilight. Yes, he moves in the daylight, absolutely. But he is the God of the night and he's the God of the day. And we can all trust God when we are in the la-la land. You know, the green pastures, the still waters. It's so easy to trust God. But actually, God wants us to trust him in the darker places because he's saying that I can bless you in the darker places. Don't believe the lie that blessing is only when everything is beautiful. There are some things that we learn also only in the dark places. And I love what David said. David, the most wonderful king in the Bible beside, you know, Jesus. And he said, Psalm 411, God, enlarge me in my times of distress. And I'm like, what? God extended. God blessed me. He enlarged me. He made me. He brought me to a higher place in my times of distress. There are things that we learn only in the darker place. And in the darker place. And I remember when I moved to Ottawa. It was in a fun circumstance, in circumstances. So I was doing my law school in Quebec City, and it was my last year. And the last week of exam for the bar, so for the law society in Quebec, my best friend died in a tragic accident. And then a couple days after, I got a phone call saying that my mom was dying because she was sick for a long time. So I couldn't do my exam. Basically, I failed, completely failed. But the director of the Law Society in Quebec knew about it, and he said, I can't give you an exemption. I'm sorry, but when you're ready, you can come back and do your exam. But it could take a full year. I'm like, I don't care. My mom needs me. So I went to Montreal. I moved all my life. You need to know that I was well established in Quebec City. I had a boo. I broke up with the boo. Thank you, Jesus, because I have a better boo now. Okay? Thank you, Jesus. When I look at this guy, he's fat and ugly. I'm like, what? Sorry. So Hey, sometimes we have to look at the past and be like, thank you, Jesus, for saving me from this. Okay, I bless him. So I left my dream life to come to Ottawa. And I didn't want to move to Ottawa because I didn't like Ottawa. Yes, I know. I didn't like Ottawa. My brother was living in Ottawa, so I knew that moving with him, I would be like the big mama. I don't want to be a mom to my brother, definitely not to my brother. So I'm like, I don't want to move to Ottawa. I don't like Ottawa. But that was the only way for me to complete my study. By the way, my mom survived. She's still alive. Thank you, Jesus. And because of that, you know, I was able to move in Ottawa because I wanted to finish my study. And there was no more space in Quebec, Montreal, Sherbrooke. There was only space in Ottawa. And I'm like, fine, I'll move to Ottawa. But it was such a dark season for me. It was hard to be in a city that I didn't really like. I didn't know. I wasn't comfortable at church. It was hard. And I couldn't find a job. I could not find a job. It was such a dark place. And then I read the story of Joshua and that famous verse that says, I will give you every place where you set your foot. So I'm like, it's in the Bible. It's for me. So I went to a place where I wanted to work. And I'm not going to say the name. But let's say it was really the dream job. And I went with my parents. There was an open door to visit that place. And I walk. And you can ask, I wish my parents were here the whole time. The only thing I was saying, this is my house. This is my place. This is my place. This is my house. I'm claiming. This is my house. This is my place. This place is mine. This place is mine. A week after, out of nowhere. Because I did send several spontaneous applications, but, I mean, they take only what we call la crème de la crème. So they're not going to take that little law students who failed a full year. I got a phone call. And that place offered me a job. And you know what I learned from that dark place? Is every time something is unreachable, the first thing I will do is walk. Go to that place. Surround that place. Just walk. I'm like, this is ours. Hey, Jesus, you said you will give me places where I walk. So I'm like, I just claim it. And you don't know how many times in my life, whether it's the house that we own right now or the house that we're building, this is how we got there. Every time people would say, you know, there's no, for the house that we're building right now, short story, people would say there is absolutely no lot available. There is a waiting list of a couple years. You cannot have a lot here. My husband and I, for 3 years, we walked with our kids. I'm like, this is our neighborhood. We are claiming that neighborhood. How is it going to happen? This is not my problem. You're God Almighty. You deal with it. My job is to walk and claim and decree and declare. So I'm like, okay, this is my neighborhood. This is my neighborhood. And one day, we skip the waiting list. And we got a phone call saying, there's actually a lot available. Do you want it? We're just going to make you skip the whole line. And I'm like, hey, now Jesus provides. There are things that we learn only in the dark place. I look at the time and I'm going to skip a little bit because I want to have time for activation at the end. God is not interested in giving us a promise and letting you in the battlefield and leave you there to fail. That's not our God. God has put, and I love this quote from Bill Johnson, God has put us on the front line because we are fully equipped for the victory. Are you still with me? Last point. God is releasing a sound over our voice. God is releasing a sound over our steps. And God is releasing a sound over your territory. So the four lepers, verse 8, entered the camp and they went into the tent. And first they ate and drank. They served themselves. It's okay. That's fine. Then they grabbed silver, gold, clothing. They went off. And I tried to imagine, you know, it's like, oh, silver, gold. Let me hide. Oh, let me go back and hide. I'm like, what was your plan? Anyways, keep taking and hiding. Then they went to another tent and they did exactly the same thing. And you need to understand, that's why I gave you the social context. The gold, the silver, the clothing, the food actually belonged to Israel. It belonged to them. And from this, I want to encourage us that when we align our mind, and before I go there, you need to know also that when the prophet Elisha released the word, the lepers didn't know about the word. They didn't know that the famine would stop in 24 hours. They just decided that inaction was no longer an option. They decided that the only way towards breakthrough is actually to walk. So they walk with fear. And that's okay. They walk. So when we align our word, our world, when we align our mind, when we align our voice with the word of God, God will allow us to take possession of a greater territory. He will allow us to recover whatever the enemy has stolen from us. Your voice, even the smallest whisper of prayer, can unleash a move of God. The Bible says that in Psalm 91:11, for he will command his angels in regard to you to protect, defend, and guard you in all your ways. There's a story of a father who had two kids, a son and a daughter, and they decided one summer to go to the store, and instead of taking the car, they decided to go for a walk because it was a nice summer evening. So they went to the store, and on their way back, you know, they're crossing the intersection, and the father had, you know, the son on his left hand and the younger daughter on his right side. And they're crossing and the street, and the father noticed a car coming at a high speed. And he noticed that the car was like, what was not driving straight. And he realized, hold on a second, that car is coming towards us and not stopping. So, and everything happened very quickly, right? So the father decided to go back and try to pull the kids back. But the son let go of his hands and crossed the intersection. And the little girl, noticing what the brother did exactly the same thing, but she got hit by the car. And she got hit so hard that, I mean, she flew, and then the car rolled over her. And that father ran to his daughter, and all he could see was a swollen body full of blood. The clothes were completely drenched with blood. And you need to know that that girl, well, the two kids were very precious for that father. Well, all the kids are precious. But years before having those two kids, that father lost two children. They died. And God made him a promise. And he said, I will give you more. I will give you more. And God did give more because he had a boy and a girl. So when he saw that daughter dead, that father just kneeled down in the middle of the street. And instead of doing the CPR and all that stuff, he just said, God, you are good. She is your promise, and you don't lie. So I declare that you are good. You are a good God. You are a good God. And when the ambulance came, you know, they're like, sir, you need to move. And he just stayed there saying, God, you are good. God, you are good. She is the promise. You give me this girl. I know you're sovereign, but God, you are good. You are a faithful God. And when he got to the hospital, after a couple hours in silence, not knowing anything, pick up the phone. The doctor came to see him, and the doctor said, I don't know what to say. And at that moment, he expected the doctor, you know, telling him, your daughter's dead. And the doctor said, I just don't know what to say. We saw the clothes. I got the description when she was in the hospital. She was completely swollen with, you know, because of the accident. But I examine your daughter's body and she's alive. I examine her body and other than a concussion, there's only a little injury next to her here. But there's... We don't understand where is the source of that blood. We just don't understand. During that tragedy, that father decided to release a sound, a whisper, the word of God. And the reason why I know this story, it's because I am that girl. I am that girl who I believe I was dead, but at the sound of the word of God, at the sound of a whisper and a prayer, I am here today. I am here today. I am here today. And for my dad on that day, what the enemy has stolen was my life. But we serve a God who says, I will give you whatever the enemy has stolen. I believe that God is releasing a sound over us to take back what the enemy has stolen from us. We are taking back our family. We are taking back our legacy. We are taking back our health. We are taking back our promises. We are taking back our houses. It is time for us, kingdom culture, it is time for us individually, as a community, as a church, as a nation. It is time to release the sound of praise. It is time to release the sound of justice. It is time to release the sound of victory. It is time to release the sound of heaven invading earth. Jesus, we speak to the dead bones. Jesus, we speak to the dry bones. Can you hear? Can you hear the sound of abundance? Can you hear the sound of freedom? Can you hear the sound of breakthrough? We are God's mouth on earth. Speak life. Release the sound. There is a sound of war. There is a sound of victory. victory. We don't have to wait anymore. We don't have to wait. God is releasing a sound through your mouth. All you have to do is decree, and it will be established. Please stand up. And maybe some of you, you're here today and you haven't had a chance to release a sound towards God to say, yes, Jesus, I want you in my life. The sound of salvation. Maybe you never had the opportunity to release a yes of salvation. And I don't want to miss the opportunity. So I'm going to invite you to close your eyes. If you're in this house, if you're here today, and you never had a chance to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I want to say yes to you. Nobody's looking. You can just like lift up your hands and we'll be praying. We're not here to shame you. We're here to celebrate you and celebrate your decision today. We want to welcome you in the family of God. So I want to invite everybody to repeat after me. Jesus, I say yes to you as my Lord, as my Savior. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for giving your life. I am now a child of God.